You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, January 5th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, alongside the King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Tony Sincana as well. We go the next 3 hours for you. Up to the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Fun show in store for you. Some baseball, some football, some basketball, including from the King, who was live at the Garden last night. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, good morning, fellas. You'll hear my exclusive interview with Jabari Parker this morning. And tomorrow morning, we'll hear my interviews with Malcolm Brogdon and Greg Monroe. But very, very interesting game last night. The Knicks came out in the third quarter after it was a very close first half. And they scored 18 of the first 23 points. But then the fourth quarter was dominated by Milwaukee. Milwaukee came into last night leading the Eastern Conference in field goal percentage and the entire NBA in points in the paint. And that's basically the model that they used down the stretch. Greg Monroe nearly had his eighth double-double of the season last night. You saw Carmelo Anthony, who was over 60% owned in daily last night, start very cold from the field. He made like two of his first eight shots, but then he really picked it up in the second half, but it just wasn't enough for the Knicks. But for Daly, if you're one of those who played Carmelo, there was a lot of them. And Antetokounmpo, just people were talking about, you know, the Knicks missed Porzingis last night. When he got that shot against Porzingis, you know, he back hurt Thomas down, and when Thomas didn't budge, he hit an incredible fadeaway against him. And it was interesting in the post game locker room. Greg Monroe said to Antetokounmpo, he says, "If you need a chauffeur tonight, I'm the guy." So yeah, that's the kind of night it was for the Bucks. Early on, the Knicks were hot. Their coaching staff was saying we need to attack Milwaukee in the corners with the threes, and they were hot. But just in the fourth quarter, they had 14 assists in the first half, but the ball stopped moving down the stretch. And the interior defense, this team, you know, you target it daily defensively, I'm sure Tony will say. They've lost six straight, and four of those they've let up at least 115 points.
You know, I watched the second half of this game, and to me, they're up big. And they were hitting some nice shots, the Knicks, but their defense completely fell apart once again. There was literally, Milwaukee went wherever they wanted in the paint, layup after layup after layup after layup, last 6 points before Antetokounmpo's fadeaway at the foul line. I mean, to me, it was a joke, this defense. It was called out earlier in the week by Jeff Hornacek. It was an absolute joke last night. To me, that was the story of this game, Tone.
Yeah, they just physically, when you look at it, Noah's undersized. When they don't have Porzingis in there, they put Thomas in the lineup.
Yep.
Carmelo Anthony's no defender. Derrick Rose has always been notorious. And statistically, Courtney Lee's the second worst shooting guard defensively in the league. So I think there's not a lot to work with here defensively, and I don't know how it gets better.
It was interesting. Tony was talking on the lineup lock show. Mindaugas Kuzmigas had a career high 15 points off the bench, kind of stepped up with Porzingis out there, and he was good from the outside and also driving to the basket. But they kind of went cold in that fourth quarter too.
See, when you're poor defensively, I look at that as that's not a lack of talent. That's a lack of will to one on, you know, to D up, guard your man, play defense versus the other team. That takes a certain mental state, and apparently the players on the New York Knicks don't have that mental state. Because I don't really think, you know, that it's we're getting beat because these are better players. No, you're not trying hard enough. Yeah, I get the system and the scheme go into it also, but try a little harder to play defense. And a lot of people are not committed to learning to play defense and putting up the will to play defense.
And this is why you target them, you know, like DFS. And what it does on the offensive side, it leaves less room for error on the offensive side. And, you know, the Knicks last night, you know, they came in the second in the NBA in second shot attempts. And Noah was good on the inside, you know, with some follows. But, you know, they they just couldn't keep it up. And then the other side, you know, you look at Milwaukee, and they're 500 by their record, but there's much better chemistry. I mean, watching Monroe and Brogdon, you'll hear Brogdon talk about it in my interview with the Tomorrow and Monroe. They have great chemistry together, you know, because they worked on, together a lot in the second unit. But, you know, this Brogdon kid has been good for Daly. He's been in the starting lineup recently with Dellavedova out. You know, and he may keep the job because, you know, this kid is, they call him the president because they feel like he's very smart for a rookie. Well, he is 24 years old, though, because he went 5 years in college and he got his master's. But you can see it on the court. This team is very in tune. And Anacompo is just incredible to watch. A 6'11", basically, point forward slash guard, if you will. And the way that team moves the ball is just incredible.
Yeah, it was, as I said, a bit of a freak show at the Garden last night with Antetokounmpo just dominating, hitting that game-winning fadeaway. We'll have more basketball. Of course, we'll hear from Jabari Parker, Scott's interview from him later on in the show. Good morning, Corey. I didn't take a morning to you. I apologize.
Yeah, wish deal, sus mania.
You got the, I've noticed you've gone away here. You got the Golden State Warriors hat out for the first time here.
Yeah, it's the Golden State Warriors sweatshirt also.
Really?
Yeah, I refuse to buy New York Knicks paraphernalia until either they get rid of Phil Jackson,
okay,
or they qualify for the Eastern Conference playoffs with a record above 500.
That seems like a fat. Doesn't seem unfair.
Yeah, I'm not spending my money on the New York Knicks with Phil Jackson running that organization.
All right, fair enough. Tony, good morning to you, my friend.
How are we doing? I'll tell you what, that Golden State-Portland game last night was one of the best games I've watched this season.
How about
they were
that?
Up and down the court, and it was a crazy, crazy night. Stephen Curry finally put together a Stephen Curry 2016 game for him last night, and C.J. McCollum is probably one of the most unheralded superstars in the NBA.
Yeah, C.J. McCollum has really stepped up in the absence of Damian Lillard, putting up 35-9-5 last night. Played 38 minutes in that one against Golden State. And as you said, Steph Curry had a little bit of a throwback game. 35 points for him, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and more importantly, 5 of 13 from behind the arc for Stephen Curry last night.
Yeah.
Both Curry, Durant, over 30 last night.
Yeah. He has to learn that he doesn't have to. Like, it's not 2016. Well, he doesn't have to bomb the crazy three.
Well, it's like the first game he has, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You're 100% right, though. There was one time he was three steps over half court and he shot one up with like 17 seconds on the clock, and I'm like, what is he doing?
You don't have to do that no more. It's like it's not a novelty act no more. Like now you can, you know, be a distributor, Steph. I know he's not in tune with that yet. Speaking of Steve Kerr, an interesting article in the New York Times on Steve Kerr.
Okay.
He's a very interesting dude. But, Steve Kerr, you know, has even mentioned, like, you know, this is not, we don't have to do this no more. Run the offense, be a distributor, and hope that when we get to June, you're not too much of a hindrance on defense. Because Kyrie Irving has been taking his food the past couple times they've played.
Sure.
Well, Kyrie Irving and, like, seems like half the Cavaliers didn't play last night as they lost to the Bulls. No Irving, no Love, etc. You know, LeBron.
I wonder why they set their guys versus the Bulls.
Yeah, and then,
Love was food poison.
Love and food poison.
The hotel.
Irving's been out. Irving's been out of the hamstring. LeBron was sick also. He played, but he was sick as well.
Yeah. He had a scary moment for LeBron where he like went down on his right ankle like late in the third quarter and he left the game, and I think he didn't come back till midway through the fourth, but kudos to him for coming back and trying to carry the team last night.
The dude is invincible.
Yeah,
LeBron finished 31 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, while without Kyrie Irving, without Kevin Love, it was Jordan McRae that stepped up with 21 points. Also no J.R. Smith, obviously. He's been out with that thumb injury.
Do you think his size and not really athletic, his size and freakish, you know, stature is the reason why we have never really seen him injured?
I think that's part of doing it. Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
he's just so much stronger than everybody else.
Exactly. Like, he doesn't roll an ankle. He doesn't hamstring, nothing. You know what I mean? It's just like, I take a few days off throughout the course of the season to piss Tony Sincotta off. But other than that, you know what I'm saying? He's, other than that, he's like, you know, I can play every day. it's just amazing how, you know, you just consistently, you know, we've seen other big-time talent. Kevin Durant had the Jones fracture. We've seen Steph Curry struggle with injuries throughout the early part of his career. But LeBron James, he just can go out there, and it's like, this guy doesn't have, it's almost like he's like, you know, a superhero.
And that's what LeBron James has become, right? Like, he not to steal anything from Dwight Howard, of course, or John Cena. He was like Superman in a way where he played every day. The only one I can compare him to, right? There's nobody. The only one that actually came to mind a little bit was actually Giannis, because Giannis can guard every position and play every position.
Oh, you're talking about as far as basketball?
As far as basketball. Yeah, but he's not nearly as big and as strong.
Exactly.
As LeBron.
Giannis is a lanky guy.
Very lanky.
And, you know, nice athletic talent, but LeBron is like a door. You know what I'm saying? Like, his back is like a door. You know, it's, you know, like a door frame. And you're like, this is, and he was built like this when he was 18, 19 years old, which is crazy. And he's just getting, you know, more mature in his physical prowess right now. So that's just a freakish athlete like that. I think only Cam Newton and J.J. Watt compare.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler with coming off that 53-point game the other night, scored 20 last night.
Yeah, well, you got to save, got to put some in the tank.
Yeah, 28 and 6, 38 minutes once again led the team. But the difference there, Dwayne Wade was back in the lineup.
Yeah.
Is Michael Carter-Williams, Tony, one of the better pickups right now this week here in fantasy basketball?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, he played very well last night. I was surprised, because I don't think he's that good, to tell you the truth.
Sure.
I don't know what the hell Chicago's doing. Like, they should have traded Rondo for something before they decided to put him as a third-string guy.
Third on the depth chart now,
Yeah, now they've impacted his value. But he played very well last night. And if you need a point guard and he's still out there, yeah, absolutely play. They committed to Williams, which is kind of crazy to me.
The thing with Rondo is he affects his own value because of how much of an asshole he is.
Correct.
Yeah, you know.
Correct. Oh, no, 100%.
It's the truth. He's a cancer in the locker room. You can't go from team to team to team and everybody's like, yo, I don't want to play with this dude. That's not like a them thing. That's a you thing. You know what I'm saying? We all know about the problems he had in Boston, but you kind of write it off because you're like, oh, it's Boston. You never know. You know what I'm saying? But Rajon Rondo is a dude that you do not want as a part of your team or staff. He's a loner. He's a rebel. I wonder why he's such an asshole like
Pee-wee
that.
Pee Wee Herman, Dottie, I'm a loner. I'm a rebel.
And wonder, you know,
he is.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't, after two incidents, you would think you would step back, do a selfie vow. Because, you know, every now and then we have to do a selfie vow.
Absolutely.
You think he would step back, do a selfie vow, and be like, you know what? I need to read some Joel Osteen books. Listen to Joel Osteen, bring my lifestyle down, try to, you know, mature and humble myself. But no, he just goes 100% asshole every situation he's in.
Tony, were you in on any Bulls last night, you know, with all the Cavaliers, all the
no
guys?
No comment on Rajon Rondo. He's going to skip over Corey's whole rant on Rajon Rondo.
I've been waiting a few minutes to ask Tony that question.
I did a little research on Rondo last night, right?
Yeah.
There's a very limited amount of teams that it could actually go to in the NBA right now.
Right.
I really was thinking, because of if there's any existing situation, no one's going to gamble and no one's going to put Rondo in their backcourt.
Right.
So basically he's at Philadelphia. He's at Brooklyn, two teams who are, in case
terrible.
People don't know, last and second to last in their conference.
Yep.
Then you go over the Western Conference. Sacramento has a crowded backcourt, but I could see them making a move that they could go ahead and bring
because
him
he played
in,
well he for them last year.
He would fit right in, right? Bring him back there, or is that going to be a situation where that?
I have to imagine they were sick of him at the end of last year, so they probably won't want him.
Yeah, so they probably won't want him back there, right? And he's already done the Dallas situation; they don't want him back there, and that's
they hate
it.
Him. They hate him. There.
So we're down to two teams.
Yeah, that Dallas team is not a team. That's more of a tight-knit unit. You're not going to come in there and mess that situation up like Rajon Rondo did.
Teams, Philly and Brooklyn.
And that sounds about right for me.
Don't bring that to Brooklyn. Don't bring that foolishness to Brooklyn.
You don't want that guy in Brooklyn?
Nah, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
I don't want him living in
New York. When is Jeremy Lin coming back?
Never. Jeremy Lin has hurt his hamstring. He played like six games this year.
Is he still a thing?
So in fantasy leagues this year, Jeremy Lin went. He was one of the guys that I was like, I'm going to draft Jeremy Lin this year.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys I wanted desperately, and it's been a disaster, Tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he's a good pick because Brooklyn plays the highest pace in the league right now. So basically, anyone in that uniform, like that would be Kilpatrick, a guy that was fantasy relevant in this one. We thought it was going to make a guy like Bojan and Bogdanovich there, but they haven't got anyone. But a guy like Trevor Booker, though, in that offense has come out of nowhere to be a fantasy stud.
Oh, Trevor Booker's been tremendous this year.
Yep.
Just absolutely fantastic.
Unlike Devontae Booker, who was a disaster.
Speaking of pickups, I know I mentioned Michael Williams a moment ago. Tony, I got to ask you about Dontas Mathis-Junis. How did he wind up on New Orleans? I haven't even looked into this because all I know is he signed the offer sheet with Brooklyn. Then he went back to Houston because Houston matched it. Then he basically, last I read, it was right, he agreed to a settlement with Houston. He was going to start playing, and now he's on New Orleans, and people want to pick him up.
Yeah, they got rid of him again because of this. He's got this physical that he keeps failing, right? And then he got the minimum salary.
Right, he was pissed.
New Orleans. So he got basically a prorated $1 million salary, which is the veteran minimum in the NBA. And that's all he's got there. And I don't even know if he's actually going to play this season, to tell you the truth, with those injuries. So basically, they took a shot on a guy that possibly can't play.
Now, a lot of people were asking me this morning, too. About
really? That early?
People were asking about
somebody was at your house?
Actually, last night.
Oh, okay.
Last night after the game.
While
you were
at
like,
the Garden?
You know, at the Garden, like, well, what's going on with Porzingis? You know, I saw him shooting around in pregame, so they're hopeful that he can play Friday in the second game of that, you know, not back-to-back, but the home-and-home with the Bucks on Friday. Tonight, I'm looking forward to, you know, watching, and everybody is... you know, Russell Westbrook against James Harden tonight.
Yeah, I think I agree. Everyone's looking forward to Westbrook versus Harden tonight, no doubt about that. Tony, is there any way to fade it?
No.
Kay.
Yeah, I was looking at that today. I don't think there is. I like Russell Westbrook if you have to choose between one of the two.
Yep.
The only thing that could make me consider it, it's a slam dunk if Patrick Beverley don't play, which he didn't play in his last two contests. Because he should be the guy covering Westbrook in that game tonight. And he's a very good defender. But if he's out, I don't know where they'll go defensively. If they'll try to move Trevor Ariza to him or if James Harden's going to try to step up and play him defensively, which will be kind of crazy to me. And I like Westbrook out of those two. It's just too much to fade these guys. When they play against each other, I mean, we're talking about 78, 80 points that we could see tonight.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just agreeing with Tony out loud. Yeah.
Hey, just read this last stat about the Knicks. We'll hit the break. Knicks are 1-12 when Derrick Rose takes 17 shots or more. And the Knicks are 0-6 since Phil Jackson announced that he broke up with Jeannie Buss on social media.
Oh.
Oh.
This damn Phil Jackson, is everything he does is has a negative effect on the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
I wonder if he got a new... never mind.
Why did he have to announce that on social media?
Exactly. Why? Why did he have to do that? Who cares?
Because he wanted other, you know, cougar types to slide in his DM. That's why.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Kurt Rambis feels about him, like not giving him the job and then naming him like the defensive coordinator.
Kurt Rambis loves him.
Basically,
Kurt Rambis loves him.
Yeah, but now like Rambis, like he's not allowed to talk to the media. And he gets all the getting some of the blame here for like you know the defensive
he deserves
problems.
It. He's an awful coach. The only reason Kurt Rambis has a job is because of Phil Jackson.
Yeah, when he was a head coach in the past, he was
sucked.
They said he sucked for his defensive coordination.
He did. Kevin Love wanted to kill him.
The players are saying they got to overthink it.
Kevin Love wanted to kill him in Minnesota. They fired him. He only got a job because he's best friends with Phil Jackson. Then they made him the interim coach. Then he wanted to make him the head coach, but he realized how shit he was going to get. Kept him on the staff despite losing out on the head coaching job. And then he's like, you know what? We're going to give him an even bigger role, make him the defensive coordinator. And what did we open up the show saying the Knicks' worst facet of their game is? Defense! Yeah. This guy sucks!
Derrick Rose is a huge problem.
Yes,
he is.
Can't wait for them to re-sign him for $75 million.
Yeah, I know, right? Do you think Rambis smoked pot with Phil Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. They probably had
I met Kurt Rambis. I don't
Can't
know.
Can't do anything with Derrick Rose, dude.
when he played on the Lakers, he stayed in the same hotel as me. I was actually at a Nets game, actually, in New York. And he stayed at the hotel, and I met Pat Riley, and I met Maurice Lucas, and a couple of players.
Maurice Lucas,
Kurt
the enforcer.
Like, yeah,
Tony.
Kurt Rambis, like, was a very quiet, kept to himself guy, like a loner.
Yeah, he was hot. Yeah,
Maurice Lucas was like a quiet guy off the court, but like a complete enforcer on it. Like one of the keys to like those old Trailblazer championship teams. Like Bill Walton was the star, but Maurice Lucas was the one throwing bodies around.
Mo Lucas. Yeah. I'm a big guy on enforcers. Like I like my team to have enforcers. Yeah.
So you, I remember the first NBA game I ever went to was when the Cleveland Cavaliers had Bill Laimbeer.
Who's the enforcer of our crew at the Roto Express in the morning?
That'd be you.
You think I'm the enforcer?
Yeah.
I think it's Tony.
I think it is, too.
Wow. Okay, well, so if someone walks in here, what's Tony going to do?
Oh, that's true, too.
No, Tony will get on the phone and say, get the hell out of there.
That's really enforcing. Really enforcing.
This is going to be the last. Yeah. It's going to be the last thing you ever do.
Until we hire Cha-Cha as a bouncer, I have to get up and handle the situation.
It worked at Charlie's Angels.
That's true.
Let's take a break here.
December 28th, Derrick Rose with Porzingis and Carmelo Anthony in the lineup shot 28 times.
That's ridiculous. That's not what he was brought here for.
Wait, no, to be fair, isn't that the game that Melo got thrown out of?
Oh, that could have been it.
Right. Yeah.
So he got thrown out of
it. So do you think he was drooling?
Yes.
Was he drooling?
Yes, he was.
He
said,
dog, you should get thrown out the game so I can shoot.
All right. We take a break here. Talk a little more basketball here from Jabari Parker next on the Roto Experts. We're at CERN here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Open it up with a little NBA. You're right, Derek Rory? You're okay. All right. Open a little NBA. Scotty was at the Bucks-Knicks game last night. Game in which the Knicks had zero business losing. Of course, they then lost to the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And they also lost to Jabari Parker of Milwaukee Bucks, the Duke Blue Devil. Last night, Jabari was 15-4-3. And before the game, Scott got a chance to talk to him. Here's Scotty with Jabari Parker.
Scott Engel of the Fantasy Sports Network here with Jabari Parker of the Milwaukee Bucks. Jabari, do you feel like you really improved as a three-point shooter this year, and why?
Just been taking chances, that's all. You know, it was always there. I shot threes. I shot jump shots. I was in high school and college. So it's just a matter of just doing it.
So this team has the best field goal percentage in the East and averages the most points in the paint. What do you feel the reasons for that? Is that because, you know, guys like you and Giannis, like, pass the ball so well, you know, down low?
Well, that's the answer itself. The more you get high percentage shots, the better your percentage goes. So that's a big emphasis for our team. We got athletes. We got great guard play that can get to the basket. We got bigs that can finish around the rim. So it's just a matter of just doing that every night.
So your dad was a big influence on you. I read, you know, he started a youth foundation where you discovered basketball, and he also played pro basketball himself. You know, how much was that a positive influence on growing up and even now?
It was a positive influence for me because that's the moral fiber of the person I am. You know, my dad developed charity in my family and with himself. So pretty much gave me the characteristics that I have just by being around him and just being around the game just made me want to play it.
I heard your cousin Jay was a big influence on you too, as you know, helping you develop as a basketball player.
Yeah, I got a lot of cousins, you know, but I credit the village that raised me.
So when Chris Middleton went down, did you feel like you know, this was something on you where maybe you had to step up, you know, and take charge the way you have this season?
Yes and no. I know that he was going to be back, but I was just trying to do my best as much as possible until he gets back.
Last one for you. How do you react when people say to you, and I'm sure you've heard this, Jabari, I drafted you on my fantasy basketball team and you're doing really well for me. Do you take that as a compliment?
I definitely do, just because they took a chance on me. And not a lot of people take a chance on myself. So it's a blessing, you know, that I have people to support me.
Jabari, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
There you go, Jabari Parker, Scotty.
Says it's a blessing to have people draft him in fantasy basketball. I like that attitude.
I got to ask, who is his cousin Jay?
His cousin Jay. Like, his father played in the NBA. Sonny Parker actually played for Golden State. And his father, after the career was over, developed like a lot of youth, became very well-known in Chicago for developing a lot of youth basketball programs.
Right.
And his cousin Jay was like two grades ahead of him, and he credited his dad, and out of all his cousin Jay was the one who influenced the most, you know, to develop really him as an NBA player to the point where, like, he took his talents and, you know, really rose above everybody else.
Do you think it was a little creepy that you asked about random cousin Jay in the interview?
No, because I as I always do, I do my due diligence,
yep.
You know, and I prepare for these things.
Sure.
And while it sounds amusing when you hear it, though, a lot of times those questions, you know, show that, you know, you've done your homework on the guy. And sometimes when you talk about something like that, it warms the interview subject up and maybe they open up to you.
It
so
warms them up.
You know, it's like,
well, how come
get him nice and toasty?
Yeah, how come there was no follow-up to the village where he came from?
I think he was just talking about, you know, the area that he grew up in when he meant the village. That's what he was saying. But, you know, you want to be, like, well-versed on these guys when you go approach them and show that you've done your homework, or you don't want to ask him the same question that everybody else is asking him, too. So maybe that will bring them out. These kind of questions, like, have brought people out in the past when I've done the interview. So, you know, I never interviewed Jabari before, and I thought that was good background. But, you know, to the point about the three-pointers, he's averaging a career-high 20.5 points on the season, but he's knocked down multiple three-pointers in 10 games this year after never doing so in his previous two seasons.
Yeah, I think Jabari Parker, you got to think about this, right? His first season completely wiped out the second half of the ACL.
Yeah,
last year, the first half of the first season completely wiped out, coming back from that ACL injury, and then kind of warmed up. And we knew this year, playing with Giannis and being healthy kind of set him up to be the guy he's become, right? It kind of makes sense. As he's gotten healthier, that three-point shooting percentage has gotten up.
Yeah, coming into last night, the Bucks scored 50-plus points in the paint in six straight games, averaging 56.6 points in the paint over that stretch. And, you know, Parker's been a big part of that. You know, you watch the chemistry, you know, between him and Giannis, and it's just incredible. And then Monroe comes in there, too. And, you know, you'll hear from Monroe tomorrow. I spoke to him after the game. And Monroe's really improved his all-around game. But, you know, he's big off that second unit, even though he doesn't want to come off the bench.
I watched Jabari Parker play, and I think he's got incredible talent.
Yep.
He could be one of the best players in the game at some point. And then I look at his numbers, and I expect more. Like,
okay.
And they're good. They're good. They're 20 points a game,
yeah.
5 rebounds, 3. But you see this guy, and you watch him play, and I'm saying, man, he should be like 28 rebounds a game. He should have 5 or 6 assists. He's like that good, but I think the problem is he's got Monroe there that gobbles up rebounds. He's got Antetokounmpo who does everything. That he's always going to be a guy that's going to be the number two guy. He'll never put up those numbers. He's going to come up a little short. It's going to be interesting to see, though, as he develops there. And I wish he was honest about Chris Middleton and said, you know.
Yeah, Middleton.
I was the second pick in the – I'm the second pick in the draft. I wasn't worried about Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting your points just about expecting more and, like, he's going to be that second guy, Tony, because that's the way the Milwaukee press, like, kind of views him. Like, you know, there's headlines in Milwaukee, like, he's becoming the perfect sidekick to Antetokounmpo.
So why did you call – Jabari Parker a sidekick to his face?
No, I didn't say that. You didn't listen to what I just said. I said the Milwaukee press. These are the kind of headlines they're writing. I didn't say. I didn't personally say he was a sidekick.
Sure.
You know, when I was doing my research for these interviews, you know, that's the kind of stuff I found, and I can see where Tony's coming from because, you know, I watched this guy on the fast break last night filling the lane, and, you know, this team, not only do I talk about the points in the paint, but they run end-to-end so well. I'm, like, looking at this team going, like, how are they only 500? It's you know, these guys have such good chemistry on the first unit with Antetokounmpo and Parker. On the second unit, you know, even though Brogdon's not on the second unit, him and Monroe have such great chemistry, but you feel like Parker should be, like, you know, driving more to the hoop. Like, Brogdon moves so well without the ball. It's like I feel like Parker can learn something from him.
Speaking, yeah.
No, no, no. I'm turning and looking at you now, Greg.
Speaking of Jabari Parker here, obviously Jabari Parker went to Duke.
Yeah, Duke University. I know where you're going.
So Coach K has back surgery, right? We talked about this. Coach K has back surgery. He's going to keep him out for, let's just call it, I don't know, an indefinite period of time.
He'll be back for the tournament.
So he's out for an indefinite period of time. That word indefinite is very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is an interesting word, indefinite. If I'm not mistaken, the last time we heard the word indefinite come from out of
Coach K's mouth.
From out of Coach K's mouth. Yeah. From that Raleigh-Durham area.
Yes.
They were talking about, from Cameron, they were talking about
Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allison.
Yeah.
His thing was indefinite.
Yeah, Grayson Allen was out indefinitely. That was a little one game.
Yeah, indefinitely was one game.
Yeah.
So here we go, a slap on the wrist.
Yep.
And right back to business as usual for Grayson Allen. You know, this is Coach K's decision. I'm just letting it be known. He do it to the wrong person. You know what's going to happen.
He's going to get got.
He's going to get got. Yes.
That's what it is. Indefinitely, Grayson Allen returns almost immediately.
Yeah. A slap on the wrist. More or less go back to your behavior. Nothing to see here.
See, I think it's actually a good move by Coach K. So the new coach doesn't have to deal with this crap. And the bottom line is, if Grayson Allen has one incident, he's done forever at Duke.
It's true.
So I think everybody knows what's going on here. And I think he did the right thing for the coach not having to deal with this that takes over going ahead and going forward.
Yeah.
Not to change the subject back on you guys, but I wanted to hear this from all you guys, what you thought. You talked about Jabari Parker coming up, and a lot of people compared him to Grant Hill.
Yeah.
And he said his idols growing up were Paul Pierce and Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. I can see some Grant Hill in this game. I don't think I hope the injury situation, you know what I'm saying, doesn't have that have that career arc that Grant Hill did. Of course, Grant Hill, great player at Duke University also. I can see the comparisons to Grant Hill, but I think I don't know if that's really truly where his game is.
So funny. When I think of Paul Pierce and Carmelo Anthony, I think of two of the better, thicker players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think it's a fair
statement.
Yes. Sturdy.
Fair statement.
Sturdy gentlemen.
Yeah, should be hostesses.
See, that's better than thicker, right?
Yeah, that's sturdy.
I mean, Paul Pierce was a very good defensive player. Sure. His build and everything. Like, it was amazing what he did.
Kobe Bryant famously said about Carmelo Anthony that it was like wrestling with a bear, guarding Carmelo Anthony.
You know what? You talk about thicker play, and you got to go to LeBron, too. LeBron's
strong. Oh, yeah.
Then you watch Antetokounmpo last night. It's
he's
not thick. Yeah. He's lanky.
Yeah.
He's lean, but the speed and the moves. And like,
not as sturdy.
Last night, he. I don't know if, did you see the dunk he did last night?
Ten feet from the
corner of the paint. It's like,
one dribble.
Like people were saying court. That last night at the guard, like, on press row, that like, you know, there's he maybe be the only guy in the NBA that can do that right now.
Yeah, I mean, he is otherworldly right now. That's what Giannis Antetokounmpo is for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Did you try to get him in a draft this year, Greg? You have an auction, right?
I had an auction.
You know how much he went for?
I mean, I would have loved Giannis, obviously, because he's awesome. I can find out how much he went for.
I'm curious as to how much he went for.
I'll have to get it up here. I wasn't prepared for that question.
All right. Well, you take care of your personal stuff, yeah.
All right, here we go. I don't really want to talk about personal stuff on the show.
No.
Yeah, you brought it up.
Actually, you asked.
No, you said I got to go. Well, forget it.
Giannis.
I had the fourth pick, and... He was not in consideration, but I look back and like DeMarcus Cousins is another guy that's lasted later in the first round of drafts this year. That, you know what, if we had a draft over again, I think those two guys, Antetokounmpo and Cousins, would be considered for the top five picks. Yeah.
He went for $48 in one auction, the same amount that I paid for Blake Griffin.
Oh, ouch!
Correct. That is ouch. Yes, that was a poor pick by me.
Which just went for better luck for you. That's all.
I appreciate that.
Never panic, though. Never panic. The guy I picked fourth in the draft, the first month he was killing me, and he's really turned around. Is Karl Anthony Towns? Who,
yeah, Cat's back.
Put together. Yeah, he's back and better than ever. I thought Tom Thibodeau and his defensive strategies was going to kill him. And I was like, why did I not think of that before the draft?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll come back right after this. Let's talk a little bit more basketball. Go around the NBA, talk about all the games from last night. Next hour, we got some games for you. Talk a little baseball, football. Stick around. Red Rush for some morning returns right after this. So before the Heat and Kings tipped off last night, we found out, Tony, that Justice Winslow is going to be done for the year with his shoulder injury. Shoulder injuries bothered him on and off throughout the year. He was in for a major, major role. That role will never come to fruition as he is done for the season here, which means guys who have been stepping up, James Johnson, Tyler Johnson, their value gets even stronger now.
Yeah, Tyler Johnson, I think, is the most talented out of that group that is going to jump in there and get some opportunity. The one problem with this Miami team is they just don't score a lot, and their pace is slow. It's actually better when Hassan Whiteside hasn't played the last couple of games. But other than that, he's the guy. Tyler Johnson's definitely a guy you could jump on the waiver wire and go ahead and pick. James Johnson's a guy absolutely playable, probably in most types of leagues. And you saw the return of Deion Waiters last night as well.
Played 10 minutes last night. And I have to think that Willie Reed was the biggest disappointment in DFS last night.
Yeah, he had that big drop-off, not actually not putting up the kind of line that he did.
The night before.
You know, 6 points, 3 boards. Stealing 2 blocks, but is Willie Reed someone that you think you have to consider?
Well, Hassan Whiteside should be back soon, I think.
Yeah, they said he's traveling with the team for the next game.
Yeah, so
it was interesting last night, though, is that I think they got all their points from the bench last night.
Well, mostly besides Goran Dragic, right? Dragic had 19.7 assists. Besides that, everything else basically was from the bench. Josh Richardson has a poor
game.
But
that was an odd starting lineup. Everybody. Like, everybody that plays DFS knows that Tyler Johnson and John, the other Johnson, were the two plays on that roster, but the coach didn't know.
News to him, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Even though Eric Spoelstra is considered one of the better coaches in the NBA. Yeah. And speaking of guys that let you down, then you had Boogie, right? DeMarcus Cousins, 13-6-4, and this...
Back to back, you give Boogie a pass for the back to back.
So he's been so much better on the back to back this year. Compared to last year. Last year you didn't play on the second night of back to backs. This year he's kind of had a different thing with a different coach. But I thought Willie Reed and DeMarcus Cousins were probably the two centers you wanted to play last night. Mm-hmm. Both of them let you down, Tony.
No, he wasn't. We talked about that on the show. He wasn't worth paying for.
Okay.
Miami plays at a slow pace, right? So
right.
You didn't want to go ahead and play him because you got to pay the $11,500. And you had a game with the second lowest total on the board, even though they put up 209 last night. So it wasn't a good game for him on paper. And you got to get these games with DeMarcus Cousins every once in a while.
Right.
And it just happened one of those games. You just go back at it. All this does is next game, it lowers his ownership percentage. You jump right back on him.
So then, if you weren't playing DeMarcus Cousins, you didn't love Willie Reed, was Dwight Howard your guy at center? He put up 13-12 last night for the Atlanta Hawks, who defeated the Orlando Magic.
And he didn't come through. I mean, he actually scored less points than I thought, even though he put up the double-double. But Dwight Howard, to me, was the best player on paper at the center position for fantasy owners last night in that matchup against the Orlando Magic. The one problem with the Magic is, again, they play a slow pace. So even when you go up against them, they don't defend big men well. You only have so many possessions, and if you lose 7 or 8 possessions to another center, it comes back. And especially a guy like Dwight Howard, who doesn't stay on the floor, 35 minutes a game.
Right. Dwight Howard, as you said, finishes with that double 13-12. I know Benny liked Paul Millsap last night, and Millsap put up 16-6, 4 assists, 4 steals. He did turn the ball over 5 times. Dennis Schroeder had 18-7-6. Well, Kent Bazemore shooting 17.
Kent Bazemore
Bazemore had a good shot shooting light now. He was night. Yeah,
he was $4,300, which was really cheap. I mean, he was a $6,000 player, last year at times, and that was a real cheap. He really shot the ball well last night. He hasn't done it the whole season, so this is something to watch, especially in the season long leagues too. He's probably been cut on a couple teams.
And then Frank Vogel also has no idea what he's doing in the starting lineup. His best players on the bench in Nikola Vucevic. Evan Fournier returns. He thought, all right, Fournier comes back. He's not going to see a full complement of minutes. He sees 30 minutes off the bench. Serge Ibaka gets thrown out of this one. His Magic team is a weird one too, Tony.
Yeah, Serge Ibaka looked uninterested last night. It was a terrible game for a guy. I don't know. Sometimes you wonder what goes on in these NBA players, if something's going on. Alfred Payton was put back in the starting lineup last night. He's played really well. He's really stepped up his game over the last couple of weeks there. And this Magic team, again, Bismack Biyombo at the center, he just does nothing offensively. They break Vucevic off the bench, which I don't understand that. And last night he had a subpar game.
And it's Payton's earned this, had a really good game off the bench the other night. And when do we get to the point where we can say, okay, you know, maybe we can rely on Aaron Gordon a little bit more.
Yeah, as you, so I know you asked this yesterday. Let's get back to it because it was a good question.
Yeah, the thing another with, good game last night.
The thing with Aaron Gordon is I'm just so nervous that Frank Vogel is going to change something all the time. I think there's just so many big guys there that there's just not enough minutes to go around for Aaron Gordon. That's me personally. Tony, where are you on that?
Same thing. I mean, if you go back to last season, you even had Tobias Harris that was in the mix, right? And they had to get him out of there. They stuck with Gordon. Gordon's the problem is he's too much of a jump shooter for a big guy, and he doesn't play close to the hoop, so your field goal percentage is going to suffer, and they take him out of the games when he's not shooting well, which hurts him because he's a pretty good spot-up three-point shooter as well. It's starting to develop there, but he just doesn't get enough consistent playing time.
There you go, Scotty.
Yeah, every time I seem to watch Gordon, though, it's like, you know, he's playing well. And you know, everybody talks about the inconsistency, but you know when you know these big guys that you know don't play close to the hoop, you know, they can frustrate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Patrick Ewing syndrome.
Sure. And one guy that's played close to the hoop his entire career is Zach Randolph. And I thought Zach Randolph, without Jermichael Green in the lineup, Tone, was in for a massive night last night for Memphis. He didn't start. Jarrell Martin got the start instead. And then Randolph only plays 19 minutes in this one and has 13 points. I thought, and I'm happy I didn't have him in my lineup, because I thought he was going to have this monster game. It just did not happen.
No, and he was a guy that a lot of fantasy owners played last night, daily fantasy players. The problem is in that system there in Memphis, they have so many big bodies. And Jarrell Martin's a guy that comes out of the woodwork. Jermichael Green was not a guy when he first got into the league that anyone thought was going to be anything. And they just plug guys in, and they do well. So guys like Zach Randolph, from night to night, you never know what you're going to get from him or how much of playing time. And it seems like they're consciously trying to keep him around the 20-minute mark.
Yeah, he's getting – you know, remember that from my first lineup of the year the other day, right? And I had Zach Randolph
in it. Did you cash that line?
I just missed the cash line.
Sucks.
Yeah. And you were saying, Zach Randolph, I don't know the minutes. And then I thought about it. Zach Randolph has been in the league for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, he's been in the league.
He was a jailblazer.
Yeah, he was a rich jailblazer. Yeah, he played with Rasheed Wallace. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
the jailblazers.
Yeah, he was a jailblazer. Bonzi Wells,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that whole squad out there. Yeah, he's made a lot of money in his NBA career, too, and he's a goon, too. But yeah, Zach Randolph, his old legs can't really give you no more than 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, we were talking about the Knicks with defense. Randolph was, like, explaining after the game last night about the problems that they're having on defense too.
Well, it's very different for them in Memphis because they're so used to playing this hard-nosed, strong defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this coach, David Fizdale, that's not his style. I mean, he wants to play in today's NBA where you're spreading it out and you're having Marc Gasol chuck five threes a night. Like, this is the style that he has brought to Memphis because he doesn't want Marc Gasol or Scotty to have that Patrick Ewing syndrome, as you said, back to the basket and that's it and slow it down. This Memphis team is just not the same team it used to be.
Nah, mm-mm. And they got.
I thought Gasol. Yeah, I thought Gasol had an opportunity last night to have a bigger game than he did as well.
Yep.
When he talked about the center position, so it was a tough night for centers overall.
Yeah, Zach Randolph was also like talking, I think, before the game last night about just like how he's starting to come around and get his focus back on basketball, but unfortunately, his mother passed recently.
Once again, no Chris Paul in the lineup for the Clippers last night. So Austin Rivers, out of 48 minutes, Corey, how many minutes do you think Austin Rivers played? It's Doc's son.
42. Yeah.
42, says Scotty. Corey?
I don't think Austin Rivers played 35?
44!
I was two off.
You were. 44 out of 48 minutes for Austin Rivers last night.
But he turned it into something. 28 points, 7 assists, steal a block. Hit, knocked down a couple of threes, so Austin Rivers taking advantage of nepotism last night.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And they both did get thrown out together.
No, they did not. DeAndre Jordan, 18 and 20. J.J. Redick puts up 19. Jamal Crawford on the bench, 22 and 4. So, Tony, I remember about a week or two I asked you, once Chris Paul originally had this hamstring injury before he re-injured it, I go, which one of these guys should I pick up, Jamal Crawford or Austin Rivers? And we kind of went back and forth. I picked up both of them because I didn't know which one to do. I picked up both of them, and it's actually worked out pretty well.
Jamal Crawford get buckets.
J.J. Redick's struggling with his shot since he came back from the injury. Even last night, he put up a decent line, but he's 5-for-13, 2-for-8. Crawford 6-for-12 from the field, 3-for-6. He's been playing really well. And if I was DeAndre Jordan, I would do whatever I could. I'd probably go to Clay Kirvin's house and try to kick him or something.
Yeah.
Because DeAndre Jordan would be an all-star without Blake Griffin.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree with you.
20 rebounds last night. They're saying that Paul could actually be back this week. And as far as the minutes,
hope not.
They asked Doc Rivers last night, you know, why he played so minutes. He just said we couldn't take him out.
Yeah, you could have. You chose not to.
Yeah.
His mother wouldn't give it up to me later.
that's what we've said, right?
I could.
He said I had to play him.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
I'm not going to say that.
Good, I appreciate that. We'll come back. A couple more games to talk about here in the NBA. We'll get into some baseball and NFL next hour. Stick around. Road Westbridge in the morning rolls on right after this. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What's up, Scotty?
Heard that liner from Cal Ramsey. Do you remember him, Knicks broadcaster, Corey?
Cal Ramsey.
That played for the Knicks in the 1950s and had a playground rivalry at Rucker Park with Connie Hawkins.
Cal Ramsey, have we met him at the Garden before?
Yes.
He's black dude?
Yeah, yes, he is.
Is he in a wheelchair?
Yes, he's...
Yeah, I know you're talking
and
about.
He's still going strong.
Yeah.
He played for the Knicks and the St. Louis Hawks.
Did he break the color barrier for the Knicks?
He might have been one of those guys. I think he was like one of the first guys for the Knicks. And he's like a legend around the Garden.
How about that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool to be a legend around the Garden?
He said to me last night, he goes... I said, "How you doing? You know, how you getting along?" Because you know, he's like
older gentleman.
He was born in 1937. So how old did I make him? 79. And he said, "I'm good. I just wanted to see this team start playing defense and start winning ball games again."
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. You can wait with the rest of us.
I'm about to say you've been waiting a long time, Pops.
You can wait with the rest of us.
Hope you got it in you.
As you said, Scotty.
He was a voice of the Knicks, though, in like the 80s.
As you said, Scott, tonight is Westbrook versus Harden. Last night, it was Westbrook versus Kemba. And Westbrook lost. Well, the Thunder lost 123-112 to Kemba Walker and the Charlotte Hornets. You had Russell Westbrook put up 33-15-8. Stephen Adams, since we called him out on this show, 18-12. Victor Oladipo put up 18 for OKC. Enes Kanter had a sighting last night, 22-8 in 20 minutes off the bench. While for Charlotte, Nick Batum led the way with 28.
He's an
Batum.
He's an enigma. You know what I'm saying? Like I said,
he's a lanky guy too.
Yeah, he is. He's built very much, you know what I'm saying, Frenchman. And he can be a stat stuffer, too, except for the nights when I play him in DFS. He's one of those guys, if I play him, I put him in my lineup, you know, he gives me that 22 DraftKings points. The nights I leave him on the bench, he goes for 50. And I'm like, "What is this? Is it personal?" But nah, Nick Batum last night, he definitely did come through. He's kind of been on a hot streak the past couple games, so scoring 20, scoring over 20 points in 7 of his last 11 games. So Nick Batum getting it done, and MKG, not a bad night defensively.
14-11 for MKG, had a block as well, 7-9 from the field for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist last night. Tell him.
Yeah, he's a pretty steady player. When you look at this team from a defensive standpoint, they have a couple front court players out. He's going to have an opportunity to play big on this lineup. I like him going forward for the next couple weeks.
Kemba Walker puts up 20-9. Kemba.
I love Kemba.
And then the dentist, Frank Kaminsky, 17 and 6 last night.
His pops used to play.
Frank Kaminsky?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Frank Kaminsky, yeah, I believe. Did he play for Seattle, I think?
I feel like there's a Frank Kaminsky Sr.
Well, there is, because this is Frank Kaminsky
III. He might have played for the Supersonics.
So he's going with that. Let's see here. A little work here. Kaminsky's father, Frank Jr., played basketball at Lewis University.
Oh, no. So that's not who I'm thinking about.
Maybe then. I'm thinking about somebody else.
Sorry, guys.
No problems. No. It was just me, Greg. I feel like I heard the name before.
You heard of Frankie?
Frank Kaminsky.
Uh-huh.
Big Bank Frank.
Is that his nickname, Big Bank Frank?
No, I don't know if that's his nickname. I got a homeboy named Big Bank Frank.
You call him Big? What? Why is your friend's nickname Big Frank? What was it, Big Bank Frank?
Big Bank Frank. Hood rich. Not elite. Not elite 1% in the rich. But you know, he's hood rich.
Big Bank Frank.
Not Sussman rich.
I'm not rich. I'm not rich. That's simply not true.
I'm teasing you.
I appreciate that. You guys are laughing away here. All right.
Nobody's laughing at you, Greg. We tease you.
On the night tonight, the Portland Trail Blazers are in at home in the Rose Garden, or whatever the Rose Garden's called now, against the Los Angeles Lakers. That'll be a fun one to target tonight.
Yep.
Your boy Paul George, Scotty, he's home against Brooklyn, and of course, OKC Houston, your main event tonight.
I may play Daly tonight and get Paul George in there.
You just want to play Daly to get Paul, you just want to root for Paul George. Why don't you own a jersey of his yet?
Because I don't wear... I don't wear items of teams that I'm not a fan of.
He only wear Met jerseys.
But you're Paul George guy.
But I'm not going to wear his jersey unless he's a Knick.
Okay. What if you bought a Paul George free? Team USA jersey?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's different.
You're a fan of Team USA.
I'm the USA. I'm American. Right. Yeah. So, well, what was Tony's question?
I'm not.
What if it was free?
What if it was free? I'd probably hang it up in a frame.
Hmm. Really? Not you would go through all of that?
I'm not going to wear it though.
Really? Paul George. So what if you bought a Team USA Paul George jersey? Would you wear that?
Like you just asked me. I said, I'm an American.
All right,
so I like Paul George.
So there you go.
Might get some Lakers in there too. I want to take advantage of Portland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take a break here. Come back. Move on. Some football and baseball news. This is the Roto Experts of the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two, Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You want to join the program? Feel free. 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879, that's FNZ as well. We begin the hour talking to you. Irv in New Jersey, you were up first here this morning. What's going on, Irv?
Hey, good morning, boys, and I hope everyone had a happy new year. Greg, Scotty, Tony, and Corey.
We appreciate it, my man.
Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you. You know, I fell a little short second place. I lost in the championship, but I still think it. You know, there is some success there, and you guys had a lot to do with it. So thanks for all the advice as always, and I'll be back at it, trying to bring one home in 2017.
All right, we're rooting for you. We're here. You know, you lost, but we're gonna make sure it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely. It happens. You play fantasy long enough, and that happens, you know?
Yeah,
you got a great team, and then someone just doesn't deliver. Stuff happens.
Well, that's what Scotty always says, right? Scotty's always like, you may have the best team, but... You don't always win.
No, the best team doesn't always win in fantasy football. You know, and we talk about this with Cha-Cha on the afternoon show too. It's like, you know, there is a certain amount of luck involved in fantasy football too, as much as you played for it. And you know, we've had this debate on this channel, on this show, about fantasy baseball, but first fantasy football. There's probably less luck involved in fantasy. In fantasy baseball,
I
and
agree.
Then we talk about with basketball. It seems like people like yourself like the daily game because basketball could tend to be more predictable. You know, you have less players on a roster, and you know, sometimes you know those guys who may step in for an injured player may make a difference or have an unusual scoring night. But a lot of the top guys are predictable.
Yeah, that's what makes me like basketball so much.
Or those top guys. Degree.
Those top guys are should be or seemingly are predictable here. Let's get into some NFL news and notes here this morning. And then, Corey, we got to talk, my man, because you have a fun pool you need our help
on. Yeah. We've got some things we got to get done, fellas.
We do. We're going to try to win you a little cash.
Yeah. I'll take everybody to Burger King.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
If we win.
Well, the Burger King around the corner from here is very expensive.
Yes, it
is. We won't
so
go
that,
there.
That's taking us to a nice place.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's funny.
That's funny. No. We're going to go
like $8.50 for a Whopper.
We'll go next door to the Fridays where a burger is like $18. So crazy. We can go there.
We could just stay here.
That's not nice.
Yeah.
For a Friday's burger?
For Friday's burger. It's more expensive than the burger here. We checked.
Jack Daniel's burger.
Wow.
Yeah, I like their French fries, though.
It was crazy. You like whose French fries?
TJ Fridays.
Oh, they got good French fries there.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Fridays.
French Fridays.
I call them French Fridays.
How about that? couple of news and notes quickly here, and we'll get to your stuff, Corey. Matt McGloin, very welcome back. Oh, Connor Cook here.
Huh.
Sunday, nice. Saturday.
Just in case something happens, you need somebody to be able to step in there and play the quarterback position. I just keep going back to how unfortunate this is for the Los Angeles. There she goes. For the Oakland Raiders, for the Oakland Raiders, after having such a good season, now they have to go into the game without the number one weapon. Sucks for them, and then because they would have easily knocked off Houston, but now you have a competition of it.
Yes, you do. All right, there you go. Not surprisingly, Mike Garofolo says Kyle Shanahan is most interested in the Denver opening.
Yeah, probably situation team that's near coming. And dear to him. You know what I'm saying?
And, and they're the best team as an opening.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah, they won the cusp of making the playoffs not too long ago, to a championship team. So he'll more or less come in there. They'll keep the pieces in place. He'll be the head coach. He'll take over the offense. Interesting to see what he does at the quarterback position.
Scott, I got to ask you a question from a manager's perspective, right? You are the head of RotoExperts.com a long time, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. And let's say you brought a guy over with you to RotoExperts for your previous job, right?
Let's say, for instance, like Dan Dobish.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great, Dan Dobish.
Good answer, Scott.
Dan Dobish.
Yeah. He's no longer with us.
Would it be awkward to then fire Dan Dobish?
Would it be awkward to fire Dan Dobish?
Yes.
I think if I have a long-standing relationship, yeah, it would, but you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Because Tennessee, their head coach Mike Mularkey, he fired Bob Gronkowski, who was his offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. He was a wide receiver coach in Tennessee, said goodbye. The only two guys on the staff they fired was the wide receivers coach and the assistant wide receivers coach. So you can see where Mike Mularkey was the most pissed off here.
Yeah, see, that is awkward.
Didn't like the development of the wide receiver core, huh?
No. So you agree that was probably pretty awkward?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Sometimes there's a relationship there. It's like sometimes you get your friend a job, and like if you got to fire your friend, right? Something kind of like that too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I brought it up to you. Yeah. Tone, Zach Zenner, who for really the last month has looked like the best running back on the Detroit Lions. The Lions finally turned to him, right? He played like 64 out of 66 snaps or something like that last week. And now they say, we're going to just do this again because we played better with Zach Zenner. Why does it take coaches so long to realize just play your best players and don't worry about anything else?
A lot of times they will try to suit everybody into a role, and they don't let them outside that role.
Okay.
And everybody sees Zach Zenner as a third down back, a goal line back. But nobody saw him as an every down back. I don't know what the reasoning was there. But now they're painting the corner. They don't really have a chance.
No, they don't really have a chance or a choice. Does Zach Zenner scare you, Scott, as a Seattle Seahawks fan?
I would say no. I'm not worried about the running game. Necessarily, Bobby Wagner's a terrific linebacker. The Seahawks mostly play the run well with him and Chancellor. I like Zenner. I think I was a little late on him. I said in the preseason, but now he's finally starting to come along. I would say I don't think there's nothing really to fear with Detroit. But if anything, I think they'd have a better chance to move the ball through the air. We did see Zenner get a little bit involved in the passing game last week.
We did, yeah. So Zach Zenner then could be somebody.
I don't see much upside for this round for him if like you're playing in a playoff type league.
Well, let's talk about a playoff type league for a second. In particular, the league core that you're most interested in doing. Why don't you explain how that works?
Yeah, got a situation where unfortunately a lot of the bigger contests you cannot play in New York City. These companies have yet to get their, their small business exemptions to pay the taxes to operate in the state of New York. So before you sign up for your baseball teams, you think you might want to check to see what's going on with New York and season-long fantasy sports, because obviously the mega companies that caused the problem, DraftKings and FanDuel, they have the money to pay the tax. With that being said, we have to go a different route. So been getting some emails, some private stuff like that, and ran across this interesting one-and-done contest where you put together a roster for the entire playoff to go through from wild card weekend all the way through Super Bowl Sunday, accumulating points off this one roster. You can pick a player from every team, but just one player from every team, and that's how you fill out your starting lineup. Two quarterbacks, four pass catchers.
Let me write this down here.
Yeah, so let me start from the top.
Appreciate that.
Two quarterbacks.
Okay.
All right, you ready for that?
Got it.
We got to select two quarterbacks.
Yep.
We have to select 3 running backs.
Okay.
We have to select 4 pass catchers.
So that means a wide receiver or a tight end?
A wide receiver or a tight end.
Okay.
And then we'll have a spot for a flex, a kicker, and a defense. I believe that's giving us 12 roster spots. There are 12 playoff teams. So we got to figure out how we're going to do this. Mind you, a lot of these competitions have, you know, multiple people. You can play multiple lineups.
Right.
Almost like a DFS style of thing.
All right.
So basically, trying to put together a lineup, fellas, to see what we're going to do. Because, you know, I'm on a heater. You know what I mean? I feel pretty good about how the season's going on. And I want another chance to win some bread playing fantasy football. So, threw together a couple lineup ideas, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about running past you guys and see what you guys
say. I want us to come up with our own and see what's better than what you came up with. And if we win, you see, you take us to Burger King.
Yeah, I would take it. To, and not only to Burger King, but the Burger King around the corner.
Really?
Yeah. The expensive Burger King.
They are. Yeah. It's like you see those promotions like 2 Whoppers for $10 on TV. You go in there, they don't have those promotions.
No, exactly. Like, it doesn't count.
And that was Burger King expert Scott Engel over there.
Burger King for the king.
Burger King.
That's right.
For the king.
What were you about to say, Tone?
So in this type of format, you're looking for 12 starting players, and 4 of the guys won't actually play this week, but you'll get 2 times the value if you put them in their roster next week.
No, this one right here, it doesn't double in value. What happens is they get the point production because they're the only player on the team, so you'll have teams dropping out throughout the course of the playoffs. But it can be done that way also, Tony. I've seen it that way.
Yeah,
the NFFC does it that way.
Yeah, that's how I've played a lot of those leagues.
Yeah.
So let's.
What are we going to do with quarterback?
Let's start,
you want to start at
the top, right? I want to start at the quarterback position. Now, I know probably the best 2 quarterbacks here are, I would think, are Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Does that make sense to put them in there?
Well, here's the thing: Brady and Rodgers looks like they are the quarterbacks. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, if he gets all the way to the big one, he'll end up playing in 3 games. Tom Brady will only get 2 games before the Super Bowl, but he's probably the best quarterback on the board. Now the thing
he's
with
got
this,
the easiest path to the big
Brady
game.
Does
he's
have
got
the easiest,
he's
path,
got the easiest
yeah.
path to the big game, but you have to understand you basically when you take Tom Brady, he's going to more than likely be the highest owned player in the pool
right.
from his specific team. Aaron Rodgers also is a guy that's in the mix, and I think Matt Ryan is somebody that can also garner some consideration at the quarterback position, even though you have other skill position players on Atlanta Falcons you may want to use. I think Tom Brady though, I think you have to lock Tom Brady in as your skill position player from the New England Patriots.
Scott, you cool with that?
I would say so. If there's one player I want for the Patriots, it's unquestionably Brady.
All right, so we're going to put Tom Brady
in.
Well,
we didn't get Tony's opinion.
Oh, sorry, Tony. Are you okay with putting Tom Brady in?
Well, you play in this type of format, you throw out the quarterback decision is basically you need to nail the 2 good quarterbacks in the Super Bowl or you're not going to win.
Okay.
So pick the 2 best teams you think are going to be in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The quarterbacks
so it's me, it wouldn't be Rodgers then.
So, okay, so he is Rodgers. So, I think we all kind of agree that the Patriots have the easiest road to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So then you got to lock Brady in, right, Corey?
In the NFC.
I think that's a chalky pick to lock Tom Brady in.
But Tony's right. You need to get the quarterback that's playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Patriots have the
do.
Best shot of getting there.
Yeah, the Packers have the best shot of advancing, it seems, for the wild card round to the Super Bowl.
Correct, so you might get the extra game
but
from the Packers.
You might
that's
get
right.
the extra game from the Packers.
Right.
But I personally believe that the Falcons are going to win the NFC.
Okay, so if we agree on Brady, which I think we have,
yeah.
then the NFC, it's going to be up to who you think has, as Tony says, the best shot to get the Super Bowl. So,
well, if you believe that's the Dallas Cowboys, who are the favorite number one seed in the NFC,
yeah.
then, I mean, if you put Dak Prescott in your lineup, that means you have to sit Ezekiel Elliott, which I don't think that's a smart idea either.
He would be the only one. That would be the only team that I would actually agree with you on.
Okay, so then if we do that, if we're going to put Ezekiel Elliott in our lineup, then right?
then we need another quarterback.
You need another quarterback, and the other quarterback I have to imagine is between Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan, right?
Well,
now the only difference is from a strategy standpoint, right? If you truly believe Dallas is going to be the team that makes it to the Super Bowl, you're going to get one less game.
Out of Matt Ryan,
right? Because
that's true.
They're going to get defeated before the Super Bowl. So do you go and do you take a shot that Aaron Rodgers runs an extra game out there? Or how do you
right.
go? You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
The Rodgers-Ryan comparison here.
Well, not only the Rodgers, I think you can also put Ben Roethlisberger in that mix also. Because,
I was just going to say,
yeah.
Then it guarantees you one of the two quarterbacks in there. You would think
yeah,
it guarantees.
You would think because it would give you one of the two quarterbacks.
Of the AFC.
But if you use Ben Roethlisberger, you can't use Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell.
I just don't see them taking out New England. In the NFC, the way I do it is I work it out in my head by round. I think Seattle beats Detroit. Green Bay beats the Giants. I think Green Bay takes out Dallas. And I think Atlanta takes out Seattle. And I think Atlanta takes out Green Bay. So for me personally, I'm willing to go with that. I'll take Ryan as my quarterback.
But that's you, right? So you think Atlanta's going to the Super Bowl.
I'm saying that's the way I do it. In a league like that, I would work out each round in my head.
Right. We're trying to figure out the best lineup to put in there. So we don't want Roethlisberger because really my thing about Roethlisberger is you can't put him in because you know you don't have Bell or Brown. I think you're going to need one of them, Corey.
Yeah.
So I come back to Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers.
Well, let's discuss Alex Smith then.
Hold on, why don't we?
Well, the thing with that Ryan versus Rodgers is like Rodgers the best fantasy player on his team. If you can only go one player per team, do you want Julio Jones?
Or Devontae Freeman.
Devontae Freeman's in that mix, too.
So yeah, why don't we skip this quarterback position for a second? And the reason you don't play Alex Smith is because you might get one game out of him. One. If you play Roethlisberger, you'll get two. If you play these other guys, you could get two. Smith, there's a chance you get one. You can't do that. You'll lose that way.
Yeah. Kansas City's an interesting team because you don't know who to play from Kansas City. I think...
Travis Kelce is by far their best. Yeah.
Why not Tyreek Hill?
He could, but he could get four rushing attempts.
And he can score three touchdowns. That's the thing, too.
It's boom or bust.
I'm pretty sure these teams in the NFL playoffs are pretty good defensively.
I like to think so. So I want to skip his quarterback position.
You want to skip quarterback?
Let's skip it here, all right? Let's go to the second running back. But we have Ezekiel Elliott.
I think we agree. We lock Ezekiel Elliott in as our Dallas Cowboy.
Give me another running back who you want to get in there. We've thrown out Le'Veon Bell. We've thrown out Devontae.
Well, you can't leave out the best player in football, arguably, and Le'Veon Bell, right? You have to put him in there.
So you're choosing Le'Veon Bell over Antonio Brown, Tony. How come?
They got a good shot at getting the AFC title game, too.
Well, here's the thing. Go ahead.
It comes down to a matter of touches with me with Le'Veon Bell over Antonio Brown. He just touches the ball more.
Well, this is the intriguing part, right? So you really have to be able to handicap this potential Pittsburgh Steeler going into Kansas City. Now, do you want in that game? So if you put Bell in this lineup, of course we like Bell versus the Dolphins. I think Pittsburgh, they go in there,
yep.
Do what they got to do. They handle business. They ride Le'Veon Bell, who's a hot player going into the playoffs, right?
Right.
Now, a potential matchup with Denver versus Kansas City, do they get off Bell and rely on the passing game more?
I don't think they ever get off Bell. Because you just pass it to Bell.
Yeah, because you can throw the football to Bell,
the
too.
The versatility, yeah.
Yeah, so I like Le'Veon Bell as well over Antonio Brown for the record.
Yeah, me too.
All right, it's 3 out of 4.
All right. Well, okay.
So we're doing it.
Well, we still got a flex. You know what I mean?
We still got a flex. We can't use Brown though.
So we've already picked.
So we got
this is a chalk lineup we're rolling out here. Now we got to get to that third running back.
I'm trying to get the most points, Corey. I'll try to get the most points. So a third running back.
But you're a cash game player. I want to take a risk somewhere.
Oh, so maybe we'll put Tyreek Hill in. I don't know. So Tony, my question to you is: when do we use these teams, because we're going to have to use every team, right? Like, so what players do we use for the teams that we think are going to lose this weekend? So I look at the Dolphins, right? And like I'm thinking like Jay Ajayi ran for 200 yards against Pittsburgh. So maybe I should put Jay Ajayi in this last running back spot. But when do I want to use
Well, he could be in the flex, too.
Okay.
He could be in the flex. So
okay.
There's two ways to look at that game, right? If you believe he ran for the 200 yards in the game that they were winning, if you really believe that Pittsburgh offensively is going to have a good game.
Right.
I don't know how much does he get the ability to rush enough times to get 200 yards rushing?
Right.
So do you go like I know in DFS I'm playing Kenny Stills a lot this week because I really think that he's got ability to get deep. But I like the worst rush defense of all the playoff teams playing this week is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think you have to go J.J. at the flex.
Well, or the third running back. It doesn't really matter. It's no difference.
Oh, it's a three running back. Yeah, yes. if you can go three running backs there. Yeah. He would be the third guy.
All right, so if you look at... Let's take this weekend's losers. Obviously, the New York Giants have nothing at running back. Not to say that the New York Giants are going to lose, but
they have nothing to run. You're not starting a Giant running back this
not
weekend.
Starting no. a Giant running no. back.
You're probably not. So you start Zach Zenner?
You're not starting a Seattle
you
running back.
You could start Zach Zenner.
See,
conceivably,
Zach Zenner is
right?
is a move that nobody's really going to do. But now you're traveling to Seattle.
Right.
12th man.
Right.
Defense still stout, obviously.
No general,
but still,
stout,
you know,
stout on the front seven.
Stout on the front seven.
Yep.
Can
Zach Zenner fall into the end zone? Basically, is what you're asking.
What about Lamar Miller? You get more than one game out of him. Good to advance to the second round.
What about Lamar Miller? Sure, that's someone to consider too.
Lamar Miller or Houston's defense,
or Latavius Murray.
Ooh, Lat Murray's interesting too.
I don't with Cook at quarterback.
Well, they're gonna run. They have to run the ball.
No, the thing is with Murray here is that if they have to run the ball and lean on him, I don't know if he can carry the full on. Where Murray's value comes is when they get to the red zone and finishing off drives. With Connor Cook, a quarterback, they're going to sputter a lot, and I have less confidence he can finish off drives.
Going against the best defense in the league with a rookie quarterback.
So it sounds like you're going to use the Houston defense, Tone.
Go ahead, Tone.
Yeah, well, I agree. Did you mention a kicker in this?
Yes, he did. Yes, yeah. He did.
Yeah, so basically the kicker is going to go in the spot you – this is a tough call because the kicker's points add up pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've always so I've gone both ways. I've used the kicker spot on a team that's going to get eliminated.
Right.
And then I've used it on teams that, you know, like that are one of the favorites.
Like Cairo
Santo.
Right.
Yeah, a perfect situation there. So that's I just want to make sure we don't lose sight of that before we get there.
Well, it's interesting because I kind of like taking a kicker that's got a shot. Like, let's someone this week, right? So you're guaranteed at least one game, and maybe you get a second game, and maybe you know what I mean. I kind of like taking a kicker this week, but I like the Houston defense, by the way.
Do you feel like we should lock the Houston defense?
Can we lock
in?
The Houston defense? In?
I
just made my NFL.com playoff challenge lineup too, which we can talk about a little bit later. Yeah. But Houston's my choice.
All right, so we're locking in the Houston defense.
But the Lamar Miller thing is intriguing, though.
Well, then you don't have the Houston defense.
Because see, Lamar Miller could be leaned on heavily this week.
Sure.
He could.
Sure.
And then he might get a second game out of it next.
And then he
might
hurt his ankle and he's done.
But then
he's practicing full.
I understand. He's had an ankle injury all year.
But they're not hitting anyone in practice.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, the problem with Lamar Miller is when he goes to the division round, he goes to New England.
Right.
And, you know, they can throw the football that week. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go with the Houston defense. I agree. We should agree with that. Let's take a break here. We've gotten four spots out of 12 filled so far. Tom Brady's one of the quarterbacks. Zeke and Le'Veon are two of the running backs, and the Houston defense is in there. Let's take a break. Let's think about this, and we'll fill in the rest of the roster on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. During the break, I was kind of looking at the lineup that we had here. And what we're doing, just so everybody knows, we're making a lineup that you have to use one player from every team, and you cannot use multiple players from the same team. 12 roster spots, 12 teams. Make the best lineup you can for a chance to win a lot of cash. And Tony and Scotty, I thought about the Giants, right? There's only one guy I want on the Giants. And that's Odell Beckham. Yeah. I think you have to put Odell Beckham in.
Yeah.
Tony, are you cool with that?
Unless you're just throwing this out here, though.
Okay.
What we consider the defense, because they're the best.
The best defense.
Pure defense.
Do you want them against Green Bay? No.
No, you don't.
That's what I was going to say.
So I agree. The only thing you consider is the defense, but you're not going to do that.
No, because of the matchup.
So I think you have to. We just put that in because nowhere else we can go.
Yeah, unless we go with gold. You know.
Right, sure. Are you cool with that, Corey?
What's that?
Putting Odell Beckham in the lineup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm breathing fast. Heavy. I ran downstairs to
use the facilities.
Use the boys' room.
Okay. We put Odell Beckham in their lineup.
All right, so he's our first pass catcher.
He's our first pass catcher. Just because that was the only guy.
Nobody on the Giants can
score.
Yeah.
If the Giants have any shot, it's going to be because of Odell Beckham. Let's put Odell Beckham in there.
What do you think about Eli as that second quarterback?
See, he's the kind
of. If they lose in the first game, you get nothing.
Yeah, but
he can win it for you.
Here, this is to Corey's point. He's saying that he doesn't want to be chalk. And Eli's that kind of guy who can get hot and, you know, take him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but that's a different era. That's a Tom Coughlin era. This is a different. This is a different coaching staff. You know what I mean?
Eli has not had a good. He was a 20. We looked at yards per attempt like yesterday, right? 25th in the league or 26th in the league.
Yeah.
If he's going to do anything, it's going to be Odell Beckham anyway.
I think we lock Beckham.
I want to lock Beckham in there, guys.
Yeah, right. Let's lock Beckham in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we? Okay, so we got a pass catcher.
Yes.
We got two backs.
We got two backs. So I think the
who's our backs? Zeke and
Bell.
Zeke and Bell are our backs.
So I think the next thing I want to do is basically. I was going to say, I want to talk about Travis Kelce here. Because I think Travis Kelce versus Tyreek Hill versus Cairo Santos are the three things you can think about in Kansas City.
No, I got another one for Kansas City, too.
Really? Spencer Ware?
Nah.
Kendrick West?
Yeah.
I'm not messing with Kendrick West.
All right. Situation where they... First of all, Ware's been a disappointment.
Sure.
Since week seven.
Absolutely. Ware's been a disappointment, right? Thanks, Shark. I think we could see a bump, an increase in the playing time and in the touches for Shark Kendrick West. If they get into it now against Pittsburgh can bring you some heat offensively, but for the most part, defense, Pittsburgh on the road, I think Kansas City should pull that one out. But a situation where they have to go to New England and be prepared to get drilled, maybe you see Shark Kendrick West catch 6-7 passes out the backfield in a come from behind type mode.
The guy that I like for them is Santos, because I just feel with that offense, you know, he's been a prolific field goal kicker all year long. Especially if they go to New England, they might not be able to punch it in the red zone. I'm kind of leaning towards Santos from Kansas City.
So when it comes to the kicker, I think I kind of like Janikowski, because then you're guaranteeing yourself you're either going to have a kicker or defense in the second week, guaranteed.
Oh, that's a good thing right there, Greg.
You're guaranteed that you're going to
we put the Houston defense in, right? Right. And we put Janikowski at kicker. You're guaranteed at least one of those spots.
You kicker all your defense.
Play
advance.
Two games.
Yeah.
Just I don't know if that means anything, Tony, but that was kind of a thought process, putting Janikowski at kicker.
Yeah, you definitely got one of those. Now, when your guy gets eliminated, are you going to be able to, yeah, so you have the possibility of losing a kicker for the rest of the playoffs.
You do. Or defense for the rest of the playoffs. I don't know if that matters.
Right,
so much,
but the kicker I'm looking at, right, if I go 3 weeks, let's just say three games from a kicker, right?
Right.
I'm giving away 30 points.
Give or take, sure.
Now, I'd rather give away a kicker than a wide receiver one or two, because I could get 30 points either way from him. But a wide receiver three, I could make the argument that the kicker is probably more valuable than him.
Okay.
I could make the argument that the kicker might be more valuable than any tight end than Travis Kelce. And I think it's... the kick is more valuable than the defense. What do you guys think about that as far as defensive scoring?
I think you're probably right that the kicker is more valuable. I think I agree with that. Okay.
So do we flip them knowing the Raiders, you know what, might not be the better defense, but they play Brock Osweiler, or do you go and keep them the way they are?
That's a great point.
That is an excellent point.
That's a great point.
Because, like you said, this is a situation where both defenses are really in play. You also got a rookie quarterback on the other side. But
All right, so actually, let me think about this another way.
Should we play Kansas City's defense?
So if we can get three games from a kicker, right? Like, that's like 30 points, as you said, Tony. What if we went with, like, Steven Hauschka then? Because they could beat Detroit this week. They could beat Atlanta in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then you win the championship game, you got three games at Hauschka.
I think I'd rather have Baldwin or Graham.
Exactly. Yeah. I think if Seattle was to go on that run, it's not going to be off the leg of Steven Hauschka.
Right.
No.
It's going to be it could be off the arm of Russell Wilson.
It could be.
That's
a good possibility too.
I'll tell you the truth.
He is going to be if they're going to do anything, they're going to have to ride on him.
Right.
You know, because in the second round, it could be a real shootout with Atlanta.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, Tone?
I like Wilson this week, too. He's the third highest priced in DFS, but I actually like him this week because I don't think they can run the ball.
So what are we putting Russell Wilson in there?
We put Russell Wilson as our second quarterback.
I think you like that.
I think I'm feeling it.
All right, let's put Russell Wilson in there.
Tom Brady and Russell Wilson are our quarterbacks.
Rematch.
I guess I got outvoted.
Sorry, Scott. We're still friends, though.
We put your quarterback in there.
Yeah, but
Scott,
like,
Scott, you're like 51% of America, so don't worry about it.
Wait a minute, Scott.
51% of America is Jewish?
He's complaining about putting Russell Wilson.
Yeah, his favorite player of all time is Russell Wilson.
Wait, would you just say you're Jewish?
This has nothing to do with it. Again,
you say you're Jewish?
He said, 51% of America.
Because 51% of America voted for Hillary Clinton, Scott.
Yeah.
That was the joke. 51% of America is not Jewish, believe me.
I didn't think so. But again, it has nothing. I don't care who he is. It has nothing to do with my fantasy analysis. I don't want Russell Wilson as my playoff quarterback.
You don't want Russell Wilson as your playoff quarterback.
I think they're going to lose in the second round in Atlanta.
Let's start Trevor.
But even if they do, he's going to put up numbers.
Big numbers.
He is.
Even if they lose, and you're guaranteed a game this weekend,
but
too.
But to Tony's point, I want to have the quarterback I think is going to have a good shot to be in the Super Bowl.
But he doesn't think Atlanta's going to the Super Bowl. He thinks, let's say, Dallas is going to the Super Bowl. He said that would put Ezekiel Elliott in there, which means Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan are really the same amount of games.
To Tony's point, you want to have the quarterback that's going to be in the Super Bowl. Corey, give me your...
If I was to go into this contest and my last two players remaining are Tom Brady and Ezekiel Elliott, I feel good.
You'd rather have that than Tom Brady and Dak Prescott.
What about Tom Brady and Matt Ryan?
He doesn't think Atlanta's going to the Super Bowl. He thinks Dallas is going to the Super Bowl.
I think they're going to be going further than Seattle, though.
No, but listen.
They're going to play more games.
No, they're not. Because if Atlanta wins and loses to Dallas, as he thinks they do, right? Because that's what we're saying.
Right,
they play the same amount of games as Seattle, too.
Right.
They both play two. And then Russell Wilson versus Atlanta secondary is pretty good.
I think they both play two, though. I think Matt Ryan's got more offensive upside than Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but okay, so then we got a situation where we're putting Doug Baldwin in our lineup.
Or Julio Jones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, okay. So let's
go. I'd rather go Baldwin.
Than Julio?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Don't we have... Oh, no, okay.
Well, why?
I just feel like... You know, like,
I think Baldwin has a big game this week.
Yeah,
he could, but I kind of like Julio Jones.
I mean, Julio Jones is a beast.
He's not bad at football.
Yeah,
we're all jumbled up.
Or use Devontae Freeman too.
I think we still got to get to that. We got to figure out what we're going to do.
I want to go backwards though. Let's
look at what we have right now.
Okay,
let me.
Our quarterbacks,
put this on paper.
I have it right here. I got it right here.
Thank you, Greg.
You can look at my computer. At quarterbacks,
don't spill my drink.
Tom Brady and Russell Wilson.
That's like a spreadsheet.
The running backs are Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
One of our wide receivers is Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay.
All right. We had Houston at defense, but we're kind of talking that out right now.
So let's take a stand on our defense. Now the thing with Kansas City's defense is you don't want them against New England.
I don't know if I want them against Pittsburgh.
But that Pittsburgh game is in Kansas City.
I understand. But the Houston game's in Houston. I get Houston against New England. I could have Houston against New England next week.
But then you got KC's defense versus a rookie. I mean, you got Houston's defense this week versus a quarterback making his first start. I think we got to lock in Houston's defense. But then Houston goes to New England. Yeah.
Right. Tony, what are you thinking here?
I would go, and I would probably, I would definitely use my kicker. I would go with a kicker and defense in that Oakland Houston game.
I think that's the move.
And I would gamble that I'm going to get two from my kicker.
Right.
I'm going to get one from my defense. I really don't see a defense coming up big in one of these. It could happen, but to pinpoint one defense over another in the playoffs is tough.
All right. So then, if we think the kicker gets more points than the defense,
there's no Denver Broncos this year. There's no Carolina Panthers this year.
If we think the kicker gets more points than the defense,
then we play Santos.
Yep.
Then you play no. You're playing Nick Novak at kicker.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying.
Nick Novak?
Yeah, the kicker at Houston.
He's been pretty good this year.
He's been fine.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you like this, Corey?
Because then we're playing the Raiders defense.
Correct.
I'm cool with that.
All right. So we're locking that in there. Novak at kicker.
Yeah.
And the Oakland Raiders
defense. If anybody's
got
to come to play this week to save that ball club, it's got to be the defense, and they're going against Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
They got to step up their game in the playoffs.
So they have
played better the second half of the season.
So our kicker and defense, one of them will play next week. We know that for sure.
So wait a minute. So we're going with Houston's defense.
No, Oakland's defense.
We're going with Oakland's defense.
And Nick Novak, who is the kicker on Houston.
I'm cool with that.
You're cool with that.
I'm cool with that.
All right. Take a break here. When we come back, we got five slots left. We got three wide receivers / tight ends, one flex, one running back. That means we have five teams left to choose from. This should be good. Stick around. We'll be back after this. All right, we are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Making it a playoff challenge team here. Corey Parson trying to win the big bucks. Here's what we got so far. One player of every team, 12 roster spots, 12 teams. There you go. Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell. Those four are locked. Odell Beckham, locked. And we get to our kicker and defense, which are also locked. Nick Novak and the Oakland Raiders. Let's go back to Detroit.
I just worry about an Oakland matchup versus the Patriots.
Well, you were worried about Houston's matchup against the Patriots, too.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just, I mean, like, do you want, we can switch that. Do you want us to switch that? We can switch that.
No. I think
it's good. I don't think anyone will care so much if you switch that.
No. I think it's good the way it is.
You're sure? Okay.
I'm sorry.
So let me get to Detroit.
Can you get negative points with your defense?
I'm looking that up right now.
Yeah.
Okay. As you look that up, let's go back to Detroit. Because there's not many options in Detroit for us to choose from here. I think you're only going to look, we talked about Zach Zenner a moment ago, and you have Golden Tate. There's nobody else really to choose from here, right?
Marvin Jones.
No, I'm not fooling with Ebron.
The good thing about Marvin Jones, though, is if you wanted to go contrary,
nobody's
going to
play him.
Yeah. No. Because he sucks.
Now, here's the thing. Golden Tate, we have another situation much like Deshaun Jackson.
Revenge game.
Where you have a revenge game in one of the like ultimate revenge games.
Little playoff game in
Obviously,
Seattle.
We don't think that they're going to be able to, that the Detroit Lions will be able to run the football
right
against Seattle, especially that front. And not to mention traveling across the country to the 12th man. So it looks like Golden Tate is the play right here, but then he's going against the Seahawks secondary.
Right.
Golden Tate seems like the play, but there's a few caveats in there.
Okay.
Number one, if they have Sherman shadow him, it could really cap his upside.
Right.
Number two part of it is that Tate basically became the player that he was in Seattle. You know, playing their style of play, which is what Baldwin does. Catch the ball, get yardage after the catch.
Right.
The Seahawks practice against that type of receiver
every
week.
That's making some good points. Lockett, et cetera.
Yep.
So I think that he stands out as the guy, probably.
Yep.
But there are things that cap his upside.
Tony, okay. what's the DVOA against the tight end for the Seahawks?
Yeah, I'm looking that up right now. That's the one place where you might be able to burn them
in the passing game.
Is Eric Ebron?
You want to burn him?
Is Eric Ebron the Lions play?
It's possible.
I think
against that cover three, you like to throw against the tight end over the middle of the field.
He's going to be the second most owned.
Ebron, you think will be?
Yeah, I think Golden Tate will be the most.
What do you think, Tony, we should do here with Detroit then?
I'm looking up. I'm getting the tight end rankings for you as we go. The tight ends are always pretty close as far as that goes. So the Seahawks this year, they were actually very good against the tight end. Yeah. Fourth best in football.
I still feel against that cover three.
Stop it, Greg.
I still feel against that cover three that they would go over the middle at Ebron, especially if Tate is locked up and you can't get Jones downfield.
They had three games where they let up double-digit points to the tight end against Atlanta, New England, and Philadelphia were the only games.
Mm. Yeah, Martellus Bennett killed them. Yeah,
They have a game of 1 point, 1 point, zero, two, zero, three zeros.
Who are they against?
I have a stupid one to throw at you. What about Anquan Boldin? He can get in the end zone.
That's not bad. That's not. I could see that.
He could also have one catch for 5 yards, too. That's the problem.
Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of targets. Yeah. That's the problem.
I can see them, like, Tate not having upside. Jones is boom or bust. He could get open downfield again. Without Earl Thomas, they could get Marvin Jones open deep. Marvin Jones could be – I'm thinking more about what Tony said. Marvin Jones could be a contrarian play because no Earl Thomas, you want to test Seattle deep. Who'd better do it with than Marvin Jones?
Marvin Jones sucks.
That's the thing. He's a buster.
So why don't we play Zach Zenner knowing he'll be on the field every play? There's no other running backs there. We know that. And he can fall in the end zone.
You know what? I'm going Marvin Jones.
Okay, you're going Marvin
Jones.
Because
Corey's saying, I don't want to be chalk. I'm going to say Marvin Jones. Because if
Ebron is also not Shaw, and then if Ebron, and let's just say, see, Detroit goes in there and they knock Seattle off, which is not out the realm of possibility the way Seattle's played.
Sure.
Even though Detroit has struggled down the stretch.
Yes.
Scott looking at me
crazy. Don't get angry.
If they knock him
just
off,
talking.
Then you get Detroit in Dallas.
Right.
Eric Ebron just had a great game against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago.
So you want to play Ebron?
I want to go Ebron.
Ebron's your guy. Tony?
He doesn't match up good against Seattle. But
and that game is guaranteed.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's why I like Jones, okay? Sherman might play some shadow coverage on Tate, but if he doesn't move, then they can put Jones to the left side where he's going against Deshaun Shedd and Stephen Terrell downfield. I'm saying Marvin Jones.
But what if Sherman doesn't follow Tate around? Then Tate's going to be the guy that...
Because I just said it. Then they'll
That'll
make sure
they... Tate.
They'll line up Jones on the non-Sherman side.
All right, so
I just think Marvin Jones sucks.
I agree. I want to vote on this Lions
thing.
I think
looking at this just from a schematic point of view and what the NFL, what other teams try to do is attack each other's weaknesses. Seattle's weakness is his downfield pass defense right now. Marvin Jones fits that bill.
Scott's voting for Marvin Jones.
All right, it's fair, Scott. Scott votes for Marvin Jones. You're voting for Eric Ebron still?
I don't know. I can be swayed.
Tony, who are you voting for, my man?
I'm looking up 2015 Seattle played Detroit, and I'm trying to find Golden Tate's numbers.
A little different because Calvin Johnson was around, obviously. Maybe if he was healthy.
Well, the whole world's different, but
That's true. I'm going to vote. So as Tony looks it up, I'll give you my vote. I'm going to take the best player and take Golden Tate and not worry about it. That's me personally. But to me, my second choice is Zach Zenner because I think he plays every snap. And he's contrarian. No,
I don't know if Zach Zenner gets above 65 yards rushing.
But if he gets 65 yards rushing and a touchdown,
I know he won't.
No, he probably won't. He probably won't. You're right.
He could be at 40 yards and a touchdown.
That'd be a lot of carries.
That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be great. I guess in Seattle, it's a tough spot for Zach Zenner. I'll go Golden Tate. That's what I'm saying.
I'm voting for Eric Ebron.
All right. So
we have three different votes.
Three different votes. Tony could be the vote here.
Yeah. You know, the funniest thing, last year at Detroit, Golden Tate in the game against them.
Yes.
And you mentioned he had three catches, 29 yards.
That's very
Calvin
bad.
Calvin Johnson, 7 for 56.
So there you go. That could be the Scott's
point. None of the receivers did any. Eric Ebron, 2 for 22 against the Seattle Seahawks. I think the easiest play here is Golden Tate. If I wanted to go contrarian, I'd go Marvin Jones to get deep against.
So I voted for Golden Tate. Scotty voted for Marvin Jones. Which one are we going to choose? Well, hold on. Let's get Eric Ebron out
Eric
Ebron's out. So, which one do you want, Corey?
Oh, man.
Tate and Jones.
No feeling, Corey. You did say you don't want to go chalk.
It's true.
But I also don't want
Marvin Jones
in the lineup either.
When the Cardinals beat the Seahawks last week, who was that big receiver?
It was the kid, right?
J.J. Nelson. Downfield type,
that's
right?
That's true.
Oh, man.
Right?
He does know the Seahawks better
I'm going to toss and turn, but I'm going to side with Scott, and I'm going to go Marvin Jones.
So there you go. Marvin
Scott talked me into it.
Scott did it. Marvin Jones in the lineup.
Stavin Marvin's going to make Corey have no money
Marvin.
For food.
I know. I'll be able to buy these kids Michael Jordan sneakers.
Scott, all right.
So and then I'm going to be sitting there watching the game, right?
Yeah.
Marvin Jones is going to catch a 60-yard touchdown pass. I'm going to go, damn.
Yeah! I was right.
No, but then I'm going to go, okay, good for Corey.
Right.
I'm never going to go, yeah, I was right when the Seahawks give him a
touchdown.
Let's
go back to Miami now for a moment here. Because I still think Jay Ajayi is the guy. Right? For 200 yards against Pittsburgh, he is their focal point of the offense. To me, I want Jay Ajayi in here. Where are you guys on that?
How much running is Miami going to be able to do when Pittsburgh jump out on them 17-0?
That's their offense, though. What do you
go back to your Golden Tate.
Yes.
Safe play, Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, that's fair.
Although Matt Moore does throw downfield, I'm going to go contrarian.
Okay.
Can beat the Steelers deep. Matt Moore likes to
Kenny
throw
Stills.
Downfield. Kenny Stills.
See, I'm not playing Kenny Stills and Marvin Jones. I can't.
No, yeah.
You can't do that.
I can see that.
You can't do that.
You feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I kind of like Kenny Stills more than I like Marvin Jones.
Let's not go backwards, Craig.
All right, Tony, where are you in Miami?
I'm going with Jay Ajayi. I'm going to throw him out there.
Corey?
I was trying to get... Yeah, there's no other way to go in this game.
Corey?
Jarvis Landry, if he did go wide receiver right, you'd have to go.
You have to go Jarvis Landry, yeah.
Jay Ajayi is the running back.
All right. So Jay Ajayi
is our second running back?
Our third running back.
Oh, yeah, we got Le'Veon Bell.
Third running back. Three spots to go.
Three pass catches.
Atlanta? Green and a flat. No, two pass catchers and a flex. Two pass catchers and a flex. Green Bay, Atlanta, and the Kansas City Chiefs. We break it down and make the lineup next. All right, here you go. Three spots, three teams. Setting Corey's lineup.
We only got three teams left?
Three teams, three spots. Two pass catchers and a flex.
Two wide receivers and a flex.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Green Bay.
Did we do Miami already?
We did Miami. Put Jay Ajayi in.
Put Jay Ajayi in the lineup.
All right. Okay. Let's go to Green Bay. Because you're not... There's no running back. I should be talking about Montgomery. Is he a wide receiver talking about Montgomery in this?
He's a run, I'm not, you know what?
He's not my consideration.
He's not your consideration.
I mean, why would you just pick Jordy Nelson and be done with it?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Like, do we just pick Jordy Nelson and be done with it? Because the Giants are pretty good. Giants have been pretty good against number one wide receivers this year. Just say.
I don't think Devontae Adams is a bad play.
No, he's not either.
I like Devontae Adams as a choice, actually.
Without falling, you know, totally off the cliff. You could picture Devontae Adams at the end of the playoffs having as many touchdowns as Jordy Nelson.
I don't disagree with you.
You guys are making good points.
Okay.
But let me throw out 2 points here.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we talk this through.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, because that's what we're doing, talk this through.
Yep.
Not saying to disagree, but here's two thoughts for me on Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
You say the Giants got a defense, they get shut down number one wide receiver.
Yes, sir.
That's the thing about what I talked during the regular season, where we assume the defense is going to win the matchup.
Okay.
Secondly, on a week-to-week basis, and we scored during the regular season,
yep.
Devontae Adams could end up with more touchdowns, but he could have 200 yards in one game and then 30 in the next.
Right.
Where with Jordy, I feel he's going to be more consistent week-to-week, no matter what the matchup is.
Okay, so I agree with both of those points, guys. Yeah. They both make plenty
of
sense.
Yeah, but one of them isn't relevant.
What?
The week-to-week, it's all total points in this. It's not like you play an opponent.
Oh, that's true, too.
That's true,
that makes
too.
Sense, too, because it's total points. So if he does
what I'm saying is if they only play two games, right? Here's my point. I know where Tony's come from, but my point is let's say they only play two games. I feel like I'll get two good games from Jordy, whereas I could get one huge one.
But that's equal.
Yeah.
That's equal, though. One huge and one dud versus two good games. Those are equal. Basically.
See, right. I think we got to throw Jordy in.
We're definitely okay.
Because we have Marvin Jones in this. So, I don't want to bank on.
Oh, you want a more bankable guy.
I want a guy that
Marvin Jones.
In case Marvin Jones give me 5 points, I know that Jordy can give me 18
plus
to 22.
Fact that I know Jordy's a proven receiver in the postseason.
Sure.
What have I seen from Devontae Adams in the postseason yet?
Never really got a
and
chance.
Because the intensity level has been raises in the postseason, you know, and I'm really thinking this through here, Devontae Adams is more likely to give me a dud overall than Jordy.
And there's also a chance Devontae Adams gives you a dud this week and they don't play next week.
Yeah.
So that's possible, too.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like...
Okay, so you're voting Jordy.
Yeah, I'm voting Jordy.
I'm going Jordy.
You're voting Jordy. Tony?
I have no problem with Jordy Nelson.
All right, Jordy Nelson's lock him in.
All right.
Jordy Nelson in the lineup.
So we got three pass catches.
We got three pass catches, one more to go, and a flex. Let me then go to Kansas City, because I think you're only between two guys here in Kansas City, personally. I'm throwing out Shaw Kendrick West. You're not doing that.
Come on with Shaw Kendrick West.
Get out of here.
I don't think we could just throw him out.
Come on.
Here's why. Spencer Ware has not looked good. Wes had
bad.
A big game last week.
Spencer Ware didn't play.
And he's versatile.
Ware didn't play in that game.
Why did he play?
He had a rib injury.
Even more of a reason.
But he's healthy now because he didn't play because they knew they had a bye week. He'll be 2 weeks out. He's going
to
play
so you're
in
that one. You're saying Wes is just going to get banished
back
to the bench?
They didn't know they had a bye week, Greg. That game started. They didn't know they had a bye week.
But they do now. They knew they were in the playoffs.
But going into that game, they didn't know they had a bye week.
To me, it has
How
to be Kelce or Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
It has to be Kelce or Tyreek Hill, to me.
See, all right. What I was saying was you can't wipe away Ware, but that could make the situation hazy.
Yes,
So I'll say wipe away both the running
backs.
That's
what I want to do.
Yeah, that's okay.
And that's how you get. So I think Travis Kelce's probably the safest because he has been extremely involved over the past month, as we know. Tyreek Hill, you get the big boom or bust play. Are you okay with having Tyreek Hill and Marvin Jones in there?
No.
You're not.
Mm-mm.
So if you're not, then I think it needs to be Travis Kelce. He's the best player on the team.
He's the best tight end in.
And he's the best tight end in the playoffs.
Period.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
What other. Who do we have left after Kansas City?
Just Atlanta, where you choose between Julio and Devontae.
Hmm.
Shakondrick West, as good as you guys think he played, he averaged 3.5 yards a carry last week.
How many footballs did he catch?
He compiled, though.
What do you mean he compiled?
His final point total?
He had 50-something yards of rushing, whatever, 16.
What was his final point total? He got in the end zone.
He may have caught 5 passes in Week 17. I'm looking up that information right now. See, they have a bye. So their first matchup will likely be versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Correct.
You know how conservatively they play.
Agree. Give me the tight end who we're going to throw it to.
I just don't want anything associated with Alex Smith. You feel what I'm saying? Alex Smith has to throw these
passes. But when you were relying on Shakondrick West, you were relying on Alex Smith.
But I'm looking at dump offs.
But you're throwing it. They can dump off the tight end.
Look, I don't like Alex Smith, but I think you're kind of overrating the dump off kind of thing. Look at how Kelce has played.
Yeah. Why don't you want Travis Kelce?
Fine, put Travis Kelce in the damn lineup.
Thank you. One spot left, Tony. Devontae Freeman or Julio Jones?
Oh, Jesus.
Not messing with
that. So you can
else.
Go either one.
Yes.
You can go either one?
Yes.
I go Devontae Freeman, and the difference being 6 points for a touchdown, and I'm trying to get the highest score and to overall points. I'll go with the guy with the most likely to get touchdowns.
Devontae Freeman. Scott?
Julio Jones.
How come?
The Atlanta Falcons are going to go to the Super Bowl to teach. Their key player, I believe, big play guy. Freeman, I feel less reliable, although I do like him. It's unquestionably got to be Julio Jones.
I don't know how he's less reliable than Julio Jones.
I just don't know from week to week I'm going to get yardage wise. I feel like Julio's got way more upside too.
Julio Jones has the matchup with the secondary of Seattle potentially.
And then he could be playing Green Bay or Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I like Julio against every matchup he's probably got.
So we're looking for a flex.
When you match Richard Sherman up with Julio.
I don't think Sherman can shut him down one on one. I don't think he can do it. He needs that safety help.
Think about it. We'll have our final vote. We'll make the announcement of our team on the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.